Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. It's our pleasure to warmly welcome his servant preacher, Mrs. Norman Newman, Mrs. Pauline Newman, to conduct our service. So may the blessing of the Holy Spirit be upon Pauline and all present, and with all those in our heartfelt thoughts. The notices are as printed, but at 7 p.m. on Thursday, this coming Thursday, is the Circuit Engage event for those who are kindly bringing things to eat. Please add your name to the list at the back of the church to say whether you're bringing sweet or savoury. Now we shall recite together our prayer for today on the notice sheet, which will be followed by our call to worship hymn 24. Come now is the time to worship. So now let us pray. Jesus, give us your eyes to see the ways we can care for others. Lead us and use us in the same of our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be with you. It's a while since I've been, but it's good to be here. From Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release for the prisoners. And so we come together to work. So we come to God in our prayers of praise and confession. So let us pray. Eternal God, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, before you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that is past, or like a watch in the night. Your wisdom and knowledge are limitless. Your goodness and mercy are without end. All glory and praise belong to you, now and in all eternity. God, most holy and most merciful, we confess our many sins to you and ask you to forgive us. You have given us bountiful gifts, but we have taken them for granted. You have given us the gift of time, but we have squandered and wasted it. You have given us the capacity to reason, but we have been lazy in using our minds. You have given us skills and talents, but we have not used them for your glory or the benefit of others. You have given us families, friends, and neighbours, but we have not always cared for them as we should. In your tender kindness, forgive us and restore us, that we may use your gifts aright to your glory and praise, in the strength of your Holy Spirit and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. brought a children's story with me, and I'm not sure just how much they will understand of it, but I'll tell it anyway. It's about a little puppy. Do you like puppies? There was once a puppy called Sandy. She was very soft to stroke, very riddly, and she ran about a lot, and she liked eating. Do you like eating? Yes. Do you like eating biscuits? Yes. Well, Sandy liked eating rabbit-flavoured crunchy biscuits, but she wasn't allowed to have many of them in case she got fat. Sandy belonged to Pete, who thought she was the best puppy in the world. Sandy thought Pete was the best boy in the world. They loved each other very much. Sometimes they played with a ball. Pete threw the ball and Sandy went racing after it with her ears flying out behind her. She could catch the ball while it was still in the air. Then she would hang on to the ball so Pete couldn't get it back, wagging her tail because it was such fun. But if Pete started to walk away, Sandy came racing over and dropped the ball at his feet, waiting for Pete to throw it again. Every day, Pete disappeared for a while. He didn't really disappear, of course. He just went to school. Sandy was puzzled and sad whenever Pete disappeared, and she was happy and waggy as soon as Pete came back. Because she was a dog, Sandy couldn't understand things like people going to school or to work, and however long Sandy lives, she will never be able to understand things like that, any more than we can ever understand everything there is to know about God. But what Sandy did know very well indeed was that she loved Pete and Pete loved her. And they both enjoyed being together. Whenever they played and laughed together, whenever Pete fed her, especially rabbit-flavoured crunchy biscuits, and whenever Sandy fell asleep on Pete's feet, she knew that she was loved and that she belonged to someone very special, just as we all know that we are loved and belong to someone very special indeed, our loving Heavenly Father. So now we're going to sing again. We're going to sing number 167. Colours of day dawn into the mind. The sun has come up, the night is behind. 167. And now we're going to hear our readings.
Reading from Acts 1, verse 3. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said to them, The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when that will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen.
And I'm reading from the Good News Bible, John chapter 15, verses 18 to 27, the world's hatred. If the world hates you, just remember that it has hated me first. If you belonged to the world, then the world would love you as its own. But I chose you from this world, and you do not belong to it. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. No slave is greater than his master. If you persecuted me, they will persecute you too. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours too. But they will do all this to you because you are mine, for they do not know the one who sent me. They would not have been guilty of sin if I had not come and spoken to them. As it is, they no longer have any excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. They would not have been guilty of sin if I had not done among them the things that no one else ever did. As it is, they have seen what I did, and they hate both me and my Father. This, however, was bound to happen, so that what is written in their law may come true. They hated me for no reason at all. The Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me, and you too will speak about me, because you have been with me from the very beginning. Amen.
May God add his blessing to the readings from his word and grant us understanding. Amen. So let's sing again. Number 338. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. 338. It's the law of nature that what goes up must come down. We can't have one without the other. In similar fashion, we talk of give and take and of getting out what we put in. Certain concepts belong together. There are two words, however, that in the Christian life at least, we don't perhaps associate as much as we should do. Coming and going. We have no trouble with the first. So much of the gospel is about coming to Christ, receiving his love, enjoying his presence. How often, though, does coming to him result in us going out for him? Too easily, what we call discipleship becomes a personal and private affair between him and us. Faith turned inwards instead of outwards. Such an understanding bears little relationship to the call given by Jesus throughout his ministry and beyond. A call that involves following him in sacrificial service, going out to proclaim the gospel and bringing light to others. We need to come to him first, of that there's no question, for only then can we find the resources we need to follow his way. But if our relationship ends there, then we need to look at it very carefully, or we might find it concludes in more ways than one. I always thought myself a good Christian. I'd been taken to Sunday school from the age of 3. I grew up to help teaching in the church. I went to the church itself. I ran the brownies. And as I grew older, I joined the ladies' group, the prayer group, the Bible study. I even helped with cleaning the church. And I produced the church weekly notice sheet and the monthly church magazine. Oh, I was doing so much. Having said that, at Bible study, I was the one who listened and said nothing. And in the prayer group, I couldn't have prayed out loud if someone had paid me to do it. I started to feel that perhaps there was something that was missing in my life, especially as many of the Christians I was associating with seemed to have something different, something better, something I wanted. I started praying about it. I would be walking around the estate where we lived in Nottingham, and I was asking that God would reveal what it was that was missing. A little while later, the study group decided to tackle the subject of church growth, both physical and spiritual. We invited people to come from different churches in our neighbourhood to speak to us about what was happening in their churches. On the last evening of the series, a couple came from St. Margaret's Anglican Church in Aspley, a church we were all familiar with because we often went to amazing midweek services there, and we knew something special was happening. We listened as this couple spoke, and we saw the light of Christ shining from them. When they'd finished talking, they asked if anyone had any questions. My friend Pat spoke up. "How can we get what you've got?" she asked. "We could pray for you for the Holy Spirit to come upon you," they said. "Yes, please," said Pat, "and Pauline as well." It was agreed that after we'd sat and had a coffee and biscuits and chatted, those of us who wanted prayer would remain. The rest would leave. 7 of us stayed. We were invited to kneel in a circle, and this couple went round us one by one, praying individually for us as they laid their hands on us. And then they prayed for us as a group. It was really quite special. And to say that we were never the same after that is perhaps an understatement. My friend rang the next morning, and I was busy washing, and I was hanging it out as I heard the phone ring, and I dashed to answer it. And she said, "Hi, it's Sheila here. I just want to know how you are." And I said, "Oh, I'm all right. Actually, I'm better than all right. I'm singing choruses at the top of my voice as I'm hanging out the washing." What What's the first thing you do when you have a bit of good news? Unless you're very different to me, I expect your immediate reaction is to want to share it. Whether it's a family announcement, Johnny's just got engaged, Elaine's expecting a baby, I've just been promoted, we've just had a win on the premium bonds, or won a dream holiday. The natural and instinctive response is to rush round to a loved one, or pick up the telephone, or send a text or an email. Such is our excitement, we may even end up sharing it with a complete stranger because we just can't keep it in. To keep it to ourselves just doesn't seem right. What then of the greatest news of all, the message of Christ? Do we burn to share that? Do we find we simply can't stop ourselves talking about something? It's what the disciples in the early days of the church found, even when it might mean imprisonment. They knew the risks of speaking out, and yet, despite every effort to silence them, they knew they couldn't stay quiet. The problem today seems to be that the gospel isn't news in quite the same way. We know that a lot of people are aware of the Christian message, even if they have little knowledge of what it's all about. We're confronted by a world convinced that it's old hat, and a world in which what's news today is forgotten tomorrow. We won't get far standing on our soapbox and quoting the Bible at people, or reciting parrot fashion the creeds or central tenets of faith. We need to take a leaf out of the Apostles' book and tell of the things we have seen and heard. In other words, to share what faith means to us and what Jesus has done in our life, and to do that honestly, naturally, and spontaneously. Often as not, we feel inadequate. I know that before receiving prayer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would have floundered quite badly in trying to speak to people about Christianity. What we have to remember is that Jesus said he wouldn't leave us alone, but would send the Holy Spirit to guide us. I soon found going to those study groups and to those prayer groups, my mouth was opened. I couldn't do it. I certainly didn't think I was clever enough. I mean, I was mixing with teachers and doctors, and I was just a simple housewife. But you know, what God gives to one, he doesn't necessarily give to another. So what I might get out of a reading, someone else might not, and I might be able to shed a light on it, the same as they can shed light on things that I've yet to understand. We need to share what we have gained and share it in such a positive way that people are uplifted. And these days, when I find myself struggling to find the right words, I simply ask Jesus to speak through me. And often I'll just open my mouth and words come out that I hadn't a clue that was there. That's God in his Holy Spirit speaking. is so good. He never fails on his promises. If someone were to regale you with Einstein's theory of relativity, how long would it be before you switched off? Unless you happen to be a physicist, I expect you'd look for the earliest opportunity to escape. I know I would. The subject may be fascinating to experts, but to most of us, it's virtually another language. Communication is about speaking to people in terms they can relate to. We mustn't slip into the language of jargon. We have to find ways of getting it across in language people can relate to. That means if I can understand it, anybody can understand it. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift offered to each and every one of us. God isn't remote and detached, but can be experienced as a living reality within us, encouraging, teaching, empowering, and guiding, ever at work in our lives. There's no favoritism with God. One privilege is for us all to enjoy the inner presence of the Holy Spirit, surely the greatest privilege there can be. And having received and experienced that gift, then surely the least we can do is make sure we witness to that gift to all those we meet. So having come to Jesus and received, let's go out and tell. And hopefully, in doing so, we may even find more people joining us in church week by week. Thanks be to God. Amen. So let's sing number 398. I lost it there. 398. There's a spirit in the air telling Christians everywhere. And now we take up our offering for the work of God in this church and circuit.
Lord God, we come to you in prayer at this special moment in this sacred space. But we come to you out of a world that is totally confused, a world that seems to have no real cohesion, and its people are warring. There are too many questions and too few answers. And yet, in the midst of it all, stands the risen, ascended Christ. Arms out wide in love. Through all the darkness, through all the warfare, through all the disturbance, let us see that wonderful figure of Jesus standing there to welcome each and every one of us. Having laid our burdens at the foot of that empty cross, let's join him in our prayers for the world. We remember the people of Hong Kong at this time who are struggling for their democratic rights. We remember our Methodist church in the middle of it all and its minister, Eden Fletcher, who used to be minister at Brunswick in Newcastle. Remember the work of that church, not just in Hong Kong Island, but on the Chinese mainland too. And we thank God that through all the darkness, light has been shone, that light of Christ alive and with us now. Remember the people of the Middle East as they continue to struggle as to what's going to happen next, where peace treaties are simply a piece of paper to be torn up and guns and barrages of bombs start again. People lose their lives, their properties, and wonder what's coming next. In the midst of all the turmoil, Christ stands with his arms open wide to welcome those who seek to come to him. Amidst all the turmoil, the grief, and the despair, remember who, all those who are seeking a new life and become immigrants to different parts of the world, who risk their very lives across rough seas and across difficult terrain and wonder what reception they're going to receive from a new homeland. And Christ stands there with his arms open wide to welcome the refugee and the stranger. Those who desire peace, those who desire a stability in their lives. But remember those who struggle in the Americas, who seek to escape tyranny from lands like Venezuela and seek freedom and peace in the United States. But human walls bar them from doing so. And Christ stands there with his arms open wide to welcome the stranger. And we pray for our own country. Amid all the confusion of words and actions, of promises and delusions, we stand waiting. In the midst of all this confusion, Christ too is there with his arms open wide. We pray for peace. We pray for an end to all the confusion. We pray for a new government. And we pray for the community in which we are set, and thank God for that. We pray, Lord, that we may be the voice that is heard among all the confusion, to draw others to that Christ whose arms are open to receive each and every one. That in the noise and the confusion there may be silence to hear that word of, come unto me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In a few moments of silence, we lift before the Lord those for whom we have a prayer burden at this time. Those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. We remember that Christ loves them too, as he reaches out to them with open arms of love and of healing. And then we pray for ourselves. Having come into this place this morning, this sacred space, broken, wondering, seeking, loving, we find our Savior here with arms open wide. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So we conclude our worship this morning as we sing together number 378, Father of Everlasting Grace, your goodness and your truth we praise. Your goodness and your truth we prove. 378. Lord God, may we live our lives to your praise and glory. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to share your love with all whom we meet. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain upon each and every one of you and on all those you love and pray for this day. And evermore. Amen. Amen.